Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the MindSpark podcast, Spark Labs. I'm your host, James, and today I'm joined by Kat Naren, and we have a returning guest today, Dr. Leon Vanstil, the director of Texas Rocket Labs at UT Austin, here to talk about kind of competition and application process since we're around that season.
Okay. All right, hello. Thanks for having me back. It's glad to know I wasn't too terrible the first time. You know, you guys have asked me to come on here and talk about competition in universities and obviously, you know, sort of how you choose what university to go to. And, you know, I certainly remember having very sort of, I don't know if high hopes is the right word, but definitely wanting to go to certain universities more than others and kind of really worrying about getting sort of my first choice and so on. And I will say the university you end up in is probably very life changing in the sense that you will have an experience at that university and that will set you on a direction for your life, whatever that experience is. I've had friends that have gone to the same university and hated it, and the other friend loved it, right? And you know, one friend just, you know, quit and went to another university that it was so bad, and you know, my other friend stayed there for almost their entire education. So The first thing that's probably worth recognizing is, like, university isn't really like school in the sense that you just go to the one that's closest to you and you just do whatever and whatever happens, right? Like, university is this place you're going to go to, which is going to become your whole life, right? In the sense that it sets who your friends are now, it sets what your peers aspire to, it sets the resources that are available around you, and that's going to put you on a course for your life, for better or worse, right? And then once you've done that, though, once you've come out of those 3 years at university, or 4 years, or 5 years, whatever it is, right, whatever you do, you're going to go into the world and you're going to carry on learning too. You have to get out of this idea that you go to university, you get a piece of paper, it has someone's signature on it, and you take that piece of paper to someone and you show it to them and you say, I can have job now, please. And they say, yes, you have the magic piece of paper with some guy's signature on it, some woman's signature on it, so you can have a job. Of course you can. You're fantastic, right? Because that isn't, you know, the proof that learning does not stop in life at university is the fact that grad programs exist. Right, because a grad program is a company saying, okay, come to us and now we're going to teach you how to work in our company. We're going to teach you how to work in your industry because your degree didn't do that. So there's two really vital components to that. One is the university you go to sets the direction of your life, right? And going to a better university doesn't necessarily put you on a better direction for life. You could go to a really prestigious, good university, go to like an Ivy League school, whatever, and make no friends and have a terrible experience. And honestly, you know, not do too well. And you could go to a very respectable university that just maybe doesn't rank as high in the league tables. And you could have a really positive experience. You know, you could meet the people that are going to enable you to do that startup or do that thing that you want to do, right? Or you could, there could be that one professor there. It's like for me, example, I work a lot in supersonics, hypersonics, high-speed aerodynamics, things like this, right? Almost no one in the field I'm in is from an Ivy League university. Almost no one. The only example maybe would be Princeton, right? There's a guy there, and even then, he doesn't really directly do anything in my field. And in that sense, right? So if you want to be in the same field as me, if you want to do high-speed aerodynamics or anything else, for God's sakes, don't go to an Ivy League school. It's a terrible career choice, right? Because, and there are these professors in all these schools around the U.S., right, who are very, you know, they're academically leading in their field. And if they happen to be in a field you want to move into, then you'd be better off going there because people know where companies like Raytheon, you know, speaking from an aerodynamic point of view, companies like Raytheon or Boeing or Airbus, they know the schools they want grads from, right? And again, a lot of the times those aren't necessarily Ivy League schools just because there are thousands of professors in the US and those Ivy League schools can only contain so many. So even if they made a point of trying to hire all of the best ones, there's just no way they could keep them all employed, right? So I don't know, it's like the education can be good, yes. On average, the education is good, but sort of like what's the standard deviation, you know, in some senses, even between courses. So there is prestige that comes with an Ivy League, although I think in the modern sort of work environment, that's less meaningful. Right, you can't kind of go and flash your class ring or something from Purdue and get the job if you see that your interviewer has the class ring from Purdue. It's not, the world doesn't work so much like that anymore, thankfully. And then there's also the fact, as I said, like going to a certain university and getting a degree, yes, is an important part of your education, but your education continues hopefully for the rest of your life. Right. And if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to be the next big startup thing, or if you want to do any of this stuff, then you need to be planning your life way past university. You need to be thinking of university like it's high school. I don't know anyone that's like, my life is ruined. I didn't get to go to the high school. It wasn't the best high school in my area. But no one cares. Do you know when the last time someone asked me what university I went to for a job interview?
Grad school?
Not even like 6 years ago, 7 years, maybe a decade almost. Well, no, not quite a decade, thankfully. I'm not that old, but you see my point. Like, it's like no one cares what elementary school you went to, or the only time anyone cares what elementary school you went to is when you're in secondary school, right? And the only time anyone cares what secondary school you went to is when you're applying for the universities. And the only time anyone cares what university you went to is when you're applying for your first job. But that, it just goes like that all the way through life. And so, yes, what university you go to is important, but not in the sense that if you don't go to an Ivy League school, your life is ruined, in the sense that it will probably set you on a trajectory for the rest of your life. The friends I made at university, the people I knew, the peers that I had around me influenced my decisions and what I did and so on, right? Those are the ways university changed the course of my life, but it wasn't about it being... That has nothing to do with its relative ranking in the league tables. That's just because those are the people I met, and that's what it did. And so, you know, that's the truth of it, right? And you know, you have to appreciate that. You know, universities have quite good marketing, the Ivy League, particularly, right? And there is, in much the same way that people value mineral water and diamonds. Right, people really value an Ivy League education in part because those schools make sure you believe it's that much more valuable than anyone else, so they can justify the $60,000 price tag.
So, in that sense, do you think Ivy League schools and all those like T20 schools that everyone like pines over, do you think they kind of live up to the hype that they've been like building up for like these like decades?
I wouldn't say they live up to their own hype. I mean, I would recognize that they are good schools, right? And there are a lot of good schools in the US and internationally. I don't think that if you applied to an Ivy League school and you don't get in, I don't think that's by any means the end of your life or the end of your career. You know, many of the people I see in my field around me and many of the people I see that are doing well don't have Ivy League backgrounds. You know, an arbitrary example, but can you guess the university that has made the most number of astronauts?
I want to say UT, but
UT's got a few, doesn't rank too badly. And this is sort of a random table I found online. I don't promise that it's 100% correct, but let's pretend it is, right? It illustrates a point. The three largest universities by astronauts would be the U.S. Naval Academy, the U.S. Air Force Academy, and the U.S. Military Academy. Unsurprisingly, right? Because none of them were test pilots and whatever else. Now, most people who are probably trying to get into an Ivy League set of schools aren't even thinking about going to those universities. Yet if you want to be an astronaut, possibly one of the most prestigious jobs that you can get, right? That's your best chance. It's going to one of those schools, right? Again, you have to be thinking about like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What choices are you going to make and so on. So yes, Ivy League schools are good. There's a ton of really good schools. And it's not really clear to me that the difference between, you know, an Ivy League school and then the school that's, you know, ranked below it, I don't know, let's, you know, like is looking, pulling up a list of, you know, world ranked universities. I've got Yale University comes in eighth, and then the University of Chicago comes in ninth, right? With some small percentage of difference in their things, right? So is the University of Chicago the same as Yale? Is it worse? Is one better? You know, it really isn't clear to me. The University of Cambridge in England is ranked third, and Princeton University is ranked sixth. So does that mean it takes two Princeton universities to be the University of Cambridge? Like, no, of course, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, the University of Cambridge is 99.7 and Princeton's 99.1 or something. Like, the difference is so minute between this level of world leading institutions that the standard deviation of your experience is going to be a much bigger factor, right? And so like, yes, they're good universities. I'm not saying they're not good universities. Of course they are. But there's a ton of good universities. And it really depends what course you want, what future you want. And you might be going to a university which is really good for your future and have no idea. Because it's just impossible to know, right? Like, Zuckerberg isn't like, I'm going to go to whatever university I went to so that, you know, I can meet the people I need to meet to build Facebook. That wasn't his idea. That wasn't his plan, right? Or Bill Gates or whatever else. So that they didn't think about that. They just went somewhere and their life kind of happened. And I think that is something that has to be acknowledged. You can't really plan for the future. You can set yourself up maybe to do well, but that doesn't start with university. That doesn't end with university. Yeah. So in that sense, right, you know, going to, in my life, I found that the best thing you can always do try to you know, make use of as many of the opportunities around you as you have. If you have the chance to go to an Ivy League school, great. If you don't have that chance, you know, it doesn't matter so much. More opportunities will always come, you know. And it's, you know, the importance of the Ivy League education is clearly, like, kind of shown in the fact that if it was that good, everyone around you that was in charge of anything would have one.
Yeah.
That's not really the case.
So going into your thing, like, it'll be okay wherever you end up. Like, if you go into Ivy League, that's good. If you don't, that's fine. So an interesting take that I've heard from, like, a couple of teachers, a couple of people, is that wherever you end up is most likely where it's going to be best for you, because they say admissions officers know, like, based on your application and based on your essays, like, do you fit in the school? I think that's an interesting take. I'm not sure if I totally agree with it, but do you believe that wherever you end up in university is, like, where you're meant to be?
No, I think that's probably rubbish. University administrators are famously overworked and underpaid, and it's unclear to me how they magically know the best place for the rest of my entire future, when, quite frankly, when I was 17, 18 and applying to university, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So how they figured it out, I've got no idea, especially not when the best thing they do is read about two pages of poorly written essays by me rambling on about God knows what and stuff I don't care about because somebody else somewhere else told me that was what I had to do. Leon, you're 17, decide what you should do for the next 80 years of your life, because that makes any sense at all. So no, I think that's complete and total rubbish. In fact, I would have used stronger language, but I would say, in the sense though, that wherever you go can often end up being right for you, in the sense that you become a different person when you've gone there, right? University especially is a very formative experience. And if you go to UT, you'll become a person that fits into the UT culture, and UT will become the right university for you. If you go to Purdue, or you go to TAMU, or, like, wherever, right? You go to this university, you go to HBCU, whatever it is, like, you will have an experience and an opportunity. You will grow. There will be opportunity. You will grow as a person, and that place will likely become the right place for you. Doesn't always. Some people are really miserable, right? And they should probably listen to that experience, and, you know, try something else. Like, again, the jobs market used to be that, you know, you went to school, did whatever, went to university, did whatever, left. If you'd gone to university, you had a great career, someone paid you a lot of money, not a lot of people went, right? You were very lucrative. Now, the reality of the fact is you pretty much have to go to university for almost any kind of job. And so in that sense, like, you kind of have to realize that the benefit then of perhaps these kind of Ivy League schools and what they were doing and the market share and all these other things kind of really drastically changed as a lot of American universities really sprung into existence. I mean, a global university sprung into existence. And it sort of changed the way that the universities as an enterprise work. Right? It used to be this really sort of luxury thing. You know, I don't know, 10% of the population went, you know, 1950, 1960, whatever. I mean, I sort of made that number up, but just illustrating the point, right? Fast forward to today when what, like 50, 60, 70% of people go. So now you've got all these college-educated people, like, not that the value of it is lower, but certainly they're easier to recruit, right? And so, yeah, but anyway, so I disagree with it on the idea that somebody knows what my future is, it's rubbish, or what's right for me or wrong for me. I think that's really just a way of honestly placating people that didn't get what they wanted. I would say though that where you go often becomes somewhere that feels right because, you know, as I said, that kind of you grow into it. And that if it feels right to you, that's probably okay. That means you've grown into that thing and that's sort of the way that your culture and personality has gone. And if it doesn't feel right to you, there's nothing wrong with that, saying this isn't the person I wanted to be or the way I wanted my life to go. And you know, I wouldn't say quitting. It's not like you're giving up. If anything, you have the courage of your convictions to say, no, this isn't the person I want to be. I need to find something else. And I will say that's something that's really worth pointing out at this point. So before I actually took my PhD, I was an IT consultant for Deloitte, which was arguably the worst and best decision I ever made in my life. And I was chatting to this guy, he was a partner there, and he for some reason we were relatively good friends, and at least were friends, and he would sometimes tell me stories. And he told me once when one of the biggest regrets of his life was that when he got out of university, he went straight to get a job. Because, you know, you don't want to be like delayed a year or two. That's a really long time when you're, what, 22, 23, whatever, right? And so he went straight and got a job straight away. And he'd had this, you know, quite successful career. He was quite young, 47, which is pretty young to be a partner at Deloitte, which is, in England, at least, is pretty much as high as you can get in some sense. And so he went and did that. And what he'd always wished he could have done was when he was younger, was rented a sport car and driven around Italy. He really, I don't know why, he loved driving around Italy, right? But he didn't do that, he went straight to work. And he says, now that he's like 47 and he's partner, and he looks around the room and there's some guy there that's 51, and there's another guy there that's like 45, and there's another guy there that's, you know, 57 or something. No one cares how old you are at that point in your career when you're actually kind of considered successful. If you have to take a year out because you went to the wrong university, or if you are so certain that university was right for you, like, take a year out, go back and focus back on the grades you need to do, and then reapply to that university. It really isn't such a big deal. I spent a year out of my education, essentially, on my career, academic career path, working for an IT consultancy. And honestly, all it did was make me more successful in the sense that it gave me a better drive and a better understanding of who I was and wanted to be, to go and pursue careers that were more meaningful for me. So does that sort of make sense? Or does that kind of answer the question reasonably?
Before we continue, a quick word from our sponsor.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like where you end up will eventually shape you. But I kind of want to go deeper into like specifically UT, because I think UT is very interesting because of the whole entire Texas, if you get top 6%, you automatically get in. So this is something I viewed at my school, like high school specifically. But I want to ask if, like, since you have a teaching role at UT and you're kind of, you also have a mentoring role in different aspects, have you kind of noticed that people like kind of undervalue UT a bit because of that? Or maybe they are a little bit saddened or salty that they didn't get to a higher university because of like that whole entire admission thing, and they end up like not valuing how good of a education UT really is?
I haven't seen anyone be salty. UT is actually really good for space stuff, and being in a rocket lab, I tend to attract all the space freaks, and so they're pretty pretty happy to be there. My understanding is that the UT pegs pretty, you know, ranks pretty well across the board for a lot of topics. I take your point, though, that it could often be like a safe second choice for some people in the sense that they kind of get guaranteed this one. You can take a riskier first choice or whatever it is. I've seen plenty of jaded students, right? But they weren't jaded because they weren't in the school they wanted to be. They were jaded because, you know, the things they wanted to do weren't working out the way they wanted to do them. UT ranks pretty highly as a school, at least to my understanding, across a lot of different things. Aerospace, it does quite well, both within the US and globally, but which is sort of the only one I know off the top of my head. But I could imagine there could be that perception. But again, right, that the trouble with that idea is, you know, that has this idea. That's like saying, I'm going to leave school and I'm going to apply for a job. And if I don't get that one job on that one try, my life is over. Right? It just makes no sense. Like, apply again for the job. Go back in next year. Right? And again, like, a lot of your education continues after university.
What do you think about like how competition for these, like how like competition for in education has like increased over the years because of these Ivy Leagues? Because like sometimes you'll look at like students from maybe like 20 or 30 years ago or like list of like famous people who went to Ivy Leagues and you kind of like take a look at what they did and like how they stood out and sometimes I just think to myself, wow, that just would not fly by in 2020 for getting into these types of schools. Do you agree with like competition has like skyrocketed over the years for education when it comes to these things?
Right. I mean, yeah, and exactly to my point earlier, right? It used to be in 1950, 1960, whenever it was, 10-20% of the population went to university. Whereas now, like, you know, if you want to be manager of a Starbucks, you've got to have a university degree. Right? Yeah. Like that's just a and that is not to speak, you know, at all poorly of anyone who manages a coffee shop or a Starbucks or anything. It's more to the point of the complexity of life. Like my grandfather, for instance, left school when he was 11 because in 11 or whatever it was, right? All you needed to meet the working world was the ability to read and count. Right, that was it. You were useful. But in today's modern society, that's no good. You have to use Excel spreadsheets. You have to be able to code, you know, do all this other stuff. So in some senses, what we're really saying is you actually have to be educated until you're 23. And what that tells you is if you need a university degree to work in a Starbucks, what that's probably telling you is just you need a university degree to exist in the world, to be trained well enough to use all of the technology we've invented, right? And so, yeah, like now we're at a point where governments are trying to get 50, 60, 70, 80, you know, 90, you know, ideally some of them 100% of their population into universities. Just because you need that level of education now to be useful in the working world. And universities have really, you know, capitalized on that. And one of the things the Ivy Leagues have done is generate scarcity, right? They can only grow at a certain rate. And so they know they can't keep up with demand, nor does perhaps they want to. So what they've done is they've made their product really scarce. Right, and if demand increases, you get to say it's exclusive by virtue of the fact you made it kind of exclusive.
Yeah, there's a lot of claims against Ivy Leagues, or like people on the internet are like, oh, Ivy League specifically want to make themselves look more scarce and more like selective. That's why they sent out all those pamphlets. That's why they sent out all the spam emails to apply. So are you saying that Ivy Leagues actually want to look more selective, even though like education is becoming more of a need in America or in the modern world?
I would imagine yes. I don't know anything for certain, right? I don't know what the Ivy League branding strategy is, but it's hard to grow institutions rapidly, especially if you're unwilling to sacrifice quality, right? You don't want to have a perception of a lowered quality, and so you have to expand very carefully, and you have to maintain all these endowments and everything else, right? So it would have been very difficult for the Ivy League to keep up with demand. So instead, what they did was they put the prices up. It's like an iPhone, right? Apple intentionally makes less iPhones than it knows people will want on launch day, because it wants you to queue for 3 days to get one, because it knows that people will report on the fact that people queued for 3 days to buy one, which will make more people want to buy them. It is perfectly possible for Apple to make enough iPhones for demand on launch day. You just order more, right? It's like, I have 10 friends at the party. They're all going to want some amount of pizza. I'll order enough pizza for everyone, right? It's not difficult. You just got to get the order in early enough. It's the same with the iPhones. If you wanted to have enough to meet, well, you know, Android doesn't have this problem. Android phones don't have that problem, right? They order more from the factory because they're not trying to create the same product. And a big part of the branding from an Ivy League school, right, is that you were good enough to get in, whatever that means, especially with this recent celebrity bribery scandal with all these sports teams, right? I mean, that tells you what all this is really worth, right? And so, and you know, and UT does have a weird place there because it is sort of required by law to take some amount of students, and it's actually very difficult in some sense for them to be selective. Whereas like Ivy schools can take whoever they want, Ivy League schools can take whoever they want. And in that sense, they can be, you know, they could just say, okay, you get to come in if you give me, if you donated $1 million to an endowment, yeah, your kids can come here, fine. I don't care, right? You can say that, it's fine. And I'm sure they do in some cases. I mean, so yeah, I think absolutely, or at least I would brand myself to be exclusive. It makes good sense, good business practice, right? The mistake is thinking that at a factual level, that education is any better than an Ivy League school. Universally across the board for everyone, right? In the same way that it would be an error to think that tap water was any less nutritious or minerally than mineral water, or that a diamond was any rarer than a sapphire, or, you know, arguably pearls are far rarer than sapphires from a universal perspective, right? You need life to make pearls. Diamonds I can make anywhere in the universe.
Well, do you think like this one, they're like Ivy League, like overvaluing, is like, isn't, do you think it's like, how much more do you think it's based on like how, just how good their marketing team was, like, and making it seem as selective as possible, as opposed to like it actually having like the best education or something like that? Because a lot of like top 20 or top 10 lists for on like all these websites where they list like, oh, top 10 physics programs, top 10 chemistry programs, top 10 all those things. I know it's like half of those schools that are listed on there for the best programs aren't even Ivy League schools that are considered in the top 20. They're just like public universities, like UMichigan and stuff like that. So how much do you think this like notoriety is about like just how good their marketing team really is, as opposed to like education quality?
Well, I mean, the league tables to some extent speak for themselves. If you want to go do a, I mean, the first thing I would say is, if you want to go do a topic at a university, go look the league table up for that topic. You want to do aerospace? Google best aerospace universities in America or the world or whatever it is, and find and go look at a bunch of different ranking tables, right? Because they all use different stuff. And it's not like, I mean, I, you know, it's not like counting money or something. It's very, you know, richest men in the world or something, richest women in the world, whatever. That's easy to know. You just count how many dollars they all have. Best university, what do you mean by that? Like, best undergraduate experience, best graduate experience, best scientific output. Ironically, universities that have good science output tend to have poor undergrad experience, right? If you're focused on scientific output as a university, then you care less about the learning quality of your undergrads. Schools that are scientifically poor can have fantastic undergrad experiences because the people there, you know, a larger part of their funding comes from getting undergrads through. And so Ivy League schools are good. So are many other schools. Exactly as you said, if you Google best drama school in the US, best theater school, best whatever, right? Most of the time, that isn't an Ivy League school that's at the top. It's another school. And I think in that nutshell, it tells you then if Ivy Leagues are overvalued for the value of your education. And that's yes. I mean, they must be, right? Or they would always, all of the Ivy League schools would always appear at the top of every ranking.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are other intangible things that would come with an Ivy League education, like access to certain opportunity and access to other stuff. But again, like how much that matters is really hard to say. I associate an Ivy League education with being a lawyer, but that doesn't guarantee success. It just guarantees you're a lawyer. And I'm sure you'll have a comfortable life, but is it fulfilling? Are you happy? Do your children love you? I don't know. Like, yeah. Do you know what? Like, honestly, it's sort of immaterial. Like, what are the things you think about on your deathbed? What are the regrets you probably have? Right? And how many of those factor into whether or not you went to an Ivy League school?
Man, oh man, I wish I filled my common application differently.
Yeah, exactly. So, I appreciate that, you know, when you are applying for universities, it is a huge decision to be making. Where are you going? What you want to do? You know, your life will almost certainly change. But to say that universally your life will be better if you go to an Ivy League school is demonstrably rubbish, right? Because there are people that drop out of Ivy League schools. And why would you drop out if they were the best thing that ever happened to you, if you were happy?
Weren't happy. I think I feel like that's
right, they were unhappy. It didn't work for them. So there was a better school for that person somewhere, better than for that person there was a school that was better than an Ivy League school for them. And that's the crux of it, right? And it's impossible to know what school that is. It's the best one for you. And honestly, worrying about it in life is paralyzing. If you go through your entire life always trying to make sure you are always at the best opportunity for you, you will waste so much time trying to find the best opportunity, ignoring what you thought were mediocre opportunities, and then the best opportunities don't pan out. I might follow up on 20 opportunities. Maybe one of them might go somewhere.
I chose to go to community college first and transfer for a four-year degree. What is your opinion on community college and that sort of path?
Yeah, I mean, again, you should be more thoughtful of what you need from your education. Like a ranking table is a number made up by someone. They don't know you. They don't know what you need. You know what I mean? Like the mean can actually be completely meaningless. You can have a very good education going to an Ivy League school. You can get a very good education going to a community college, right? Now, it can be harder. Sometimes, you know, like the opportunities aren't as frequent. It's probably a better way of thinking about it. So, no, I don't think that's a problem. Did it work for you? Was it a good experience for you?
Yeah, so far I like it a lot because my classes are a lot smaller, so I can actually have one-on-one sessions with my teachers. And a lot of them, they don't have Ivy League degrees, but I mean, they are still PhDs in math. And like, I have an ex-colonel from the Air Force as my computer science teacher.
That's cool.
So, yeah, so I get a lot of connections. I guess it's a lot more intimate connections. And yeah, there's no dorm life or something, but that wasn't something particularly important to me. So I think it's good. And then when I transfer, I know I have a strong basis in what I need.
Right, and also if you want that dorm life, you can pick it up then. I mean, I don't see the problem. Again, like if I was interviewing people to come work in the lab or something, and my first question is not going to be, so did you go to community college? But I'm not selecting people to work in my lab based on whether or not they went to an Ivy League.
Right.
Right. In fact, again, in my career, that'd probably be, unless you're at Princeton, it's probably a pretty poor choice. I don't want you. the other schools, with the exception, I think it's Princeton, right? The other schools don't really have particularly strong engineering departments. Mm-hmm. So why would I want you there? You know, probably not. I mean, you might be, but it's, you know, I'd be looking for other schools. So, no, I don't think it's a problem. I think it's this, people want to create this idea that community colleges are somehow an inferior education because it allows you to keep the prices high on your university, right?
I mean, that's very true.
And also, you know, just people like being exclusive. They want to say, oh, you know, I'm from UT, it's the best school in the world, or the other schools are rubbish, and oh well, we all went to university, or the other people that didn't go to university are rubbish. Like, but again, like, no one cares. As soon as you're out of it, no one cares. No one cares what grades you got in high school when you're getting grades at university. No one cares what grades you got at university when you got a job. So yes, it's important in the here and now, and yes, it's important in perhaps setting a trajectory for your life, but one, it's not like you can't change that trajectory later, and two, it doesn't mean that the trajectory you got put on wasn't the right one for you, or if you go to a really really good school, you know, quote unquote an Ivy League school, that the trajectory that puts you on is good for you. You end up really miserable and drop out, or you could not receive the support that you require. You might not get that same intimacy. It's just you and 100 other people being talked at by a professor. Maybe you just don't get it and you fail out. And that wasn't on you, that was on them, right? Like, failure isn't always your fault. Sometimes it's the university's fault. If you go to a university that doesn't support you in the right ways, you may fail. And more because of the way they failed to support you than you actually not being a good student. But, and you know, that, and that's sort of buried in that value proposition, right? That all failure is your fault, in a sense. Like, if the student fails, it's because the student was lazy, but if the student does good, it's because the school was good. Right, so it's sort of the same with parents, right? You know, if you fail, it's because you didn't listen to your parents, but if you're doing well, it's because you listened to your parents. You know, which is it? Like, that has to be one of these. And so, like, it's a two-way street. If you're a student, it's a student-mentor relationship. And, you know, some students do better in some classes than others. Some students are more academic than others. It doesn't mean they're smarter or dumber. It just means they're more academic and more suited to that environment, right? And so if a student fails your class, you really have to ask yourself, I think about it. It's like, did I do enough to sort of support them? Did I do enough to say, like, hey, you know, your grades are slipping. Are you okay? What's going on? We'll talk about this. But there are a lot of people that would never take the time, just fail them and move on, right? And so universities are very much, the education is a two-way street. Life's two-way street, really, I suppose. And it's entirely possible for you to be completely more successful for having gone to community college. You know, you could, again, right, you could just find that right thing and it just shoots you off in this really successful trajectory. And so, I would completely disagree with the notion that somehow going to a community school is disadvantageous.
So, outside of the box, I think this is around a good time to stop, because I think I'm putting out questions, and I think this was a really good discussion about it. Thank you for tuning into the MindSpark podcast, Spark Labs. This was a really interesting discussion about college applications. And from the MindSpark team, we hope you tune in next time. I've been your host, James. This has been a really interesting conversation about college applications. From the MindSpark team, we wish you to tune in next time, and we wish you good luck on your college applications.